Philippians chapter 2. I feel so sorry for this confusion and garbage that's going on with the COVID stuff. While you turn to Philippians 2, there's states that allow churches to meet, but you can't sing. Can you imagine a church service where you just come in, okay, take your Bibles, and then you leave without singing? Singing was God's plan to praise Him. And just the sweet songs that we've got to sing this morning, I couldn't imagine. And it's so foolish for the state to tell a church how to have church. We try to do it God's way. Church was God's idea. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 5 through 8. I'll read verse 5, and you read verse 6 with me. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And let's pray together. Father, please help us as we look at your word this morning. Lord, we know it's right. We know it's perfect. Every word is pure. And Father, please touch our hearts, bless your word to our hearts, and strengthen us as your people. And then, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, please. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard me say in Sunday school, this is one of my favorite times of year. I love Christmas, but I really love resurrection time of year where we get to focus on what Jesus did for us in the cross. And next week, I'm going to preach. Next week in Sunday school, we're going to go through the timeline. We're going to show in a Catholic area where, you know, people say, you know, do you have early rise services? And do you do anything on Good Friday? And no, because there's nothing good about Friday. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. And next Sunday in Sunday school, we do that lesson every year, but we go through the timeline. We'll show you that. And then I'm going to preach a message on the cross. And I think it's just good. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them that are saved, it's the power of God. Right? So I love this time of year, and I love thinking about it and focusing on it. This passage here, when you look at, this is one of the many motivating factors in the heart of our Lord that made the cross possible. As sinners, we needed someone who had not sinned to make the payment for our sins, and nobody else could do that but God. If you look at verse 8, it says here, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, what a phrase, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We'll spend our time here this morning, but I want you to think about this just for a second. There's only one person in the universe who has the right to be proud, and that's God. But God humbled himself to come and die on a cross. Since God humbled himself when he never had to, isn't it amazing that man won't humble himself to be saved? Philippians, go back to verse 5. It says, let or allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then notice here it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So think with me just for a second. I'm going to use some verses and I want you to think along these lines. But Jesus wasn't made in the form of God. Jesus was in the form of God. He always has been. The Lord Jesus was the form or the visible representation of God. Seven times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is called the Word. Capital W. And what is a word to you and me? You think the thought, and then you express it with your mouth in words. Well, what is Jesus? He's the exact expression of the Father, right? He is the Word made flesh. He's the Bible personified. He is God in the flesh. And so he was always in the form of God. Then, look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God... Notice the word form in verse 6 and 7. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus always, think about this, Jesus always was God. What he took upon him was the form of a man. He became flesh. He didn't become God, but he did become man. For God to become man, for God who inhabits eternity, who is majestic and it says the whole universe can't contain him, to limit himself to a human form. What humility. No, he humbled himself. You say, what a step down. That's a chasm. To go from God to limit yourself to a body that gets tired. Now, it was perfect, but to limit yourself to a body that gets tired and hungry and thirsty and feels pain, to limit yourself. He took upon him the form of a servant. So, it's so sad. The fairy tale of Mormonism says that man can take a step up and become God. And, you know, we got to talk to somebody who'd been Mormon for 40 years yesterday and met somebody out. And, you know, the wife's the one that controls the home. And I said, so how long you been going to the Mormon church? Well, my wife's been going 40 years. How long you been going? Well, since I've been married. Because bless God, they're going where she says. I just asked him, and he wasn't real happy about being a Mormon either. You know what I mean? He was enduring it. And I said, so you go to a Mormon church. I said, you ever look up Joseph Smith? I said, do you know? Well, yeah, we've been taught his history. I said, you know about his lies? The whole religion is formed off of an angelic vision of one man. And everybody takes, and he had a history of storytelling and lying before he ever came up with the Mormon religion. Sounds, I said, really? Then the wife came up, you know, and she goes, bye. We said, bye-bye now. That's sad to me. Mormons have a belief as God. They believe as their statement is, you know, as man is, God once was. And as God is now, man can become. And the more wives you marry and the more children you have, the faster you reach godhood. Doesn't that sound satanic? You can be your own God if you'll just... That explains the multiple wives thing. I almost want to tell them if they'd just let me just talk to them. They just need to know what I know. But I almost said, you do know Mormon women in America have the highest suicide rate, right? I've told that to several Mormons. God's plan is one woman and one man. Till death do they part. You put two women in a house. David had multiple wives. Yeah, check out his home too. He did not have a happy home. Put more than one wife in a home, sharing a husband. Yeah, that's going to lead to suicide. Somebody's committing suicide. No, I'm just, all right. So you got Mormonism and the fairy tale that man can become God. And it's so sad. Think with me, before Jesus was ever spit upon or scourged or crucified, in just coming down to this earth and limiting himself to a human body was great humiliation. Now I want you to think about, look at verse 6. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. Think about the word robbery for a second. Can you keep your finger there in Philippians and go to John chapter 10? Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll come right back to Philippians here in just a second. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You're in John chapter 10. Look at verse 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Look what Jesus called a robber. In other words, for me to climb up to heaven some other way than by what Jesus Christ has already provided, after all that God did and went through to provide my salvation, that would be, how arrogant is that? I've got my own church. You going to church is nothing compared to what Jesus did for you. Oh, I've been baptized. No, you being baptized is nothing compared to what Jesus did for you. You're trusting that instead of Jesus? How arrogant and proud and hard-hearted do you have to be to say, I don't need to know what Jesus did. I'm going to earn my own way to heaven, which is impossible. That would make you some other way. I'll get to heaven some other way. Then you are a robber. You won't go through the door. You'll climb up over this way or climb up over this way. In chapter 10 of John, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the only way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's verse 9. And then, of course, you can read down there. Listen closely. I would be saying, if I could get to heaven another way, that what Jesus did wasn't sufficient, and I'd be elevating myself in a proud, arrogant, horrible way. I would be robbing God, because it was God's place to declare what was needed for salvation on His terms, not me to say, okay, you can save me, and when you save me, it'll be because I do this, 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 and this. How, once again, proud. And God says, you don't come to me on my terms. Excuse me. I don't come to you on your terms. You come to me on mine. And for you to get into heaven, you need my perfection, righteousness, and holiness. And you only get that if I give it to you. And you get it I'll give it to you when you place your faith in my Son. If anybody enters in, he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. All through the book of John, when Jesus says, I am that bread of life. I am the living bread, John 6. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Every time Jesus said, I am, he was talking back to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell them, I am hath sent you. I am is the name of Jehovah, Creator God, the one who always is. Now, 2,000 years later, Jesus is saying, I am. We're the same God in the Old Testament and New Testament. I am everything that you need for salvation. You're in John 10. Look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. When you read John, three times they took up stones to kill Jesus before he was crucified. John 5, John 8, and John 10. And all three times it's because he said, I am God Almighty in the flesh. Stone him! He said, what did he just say? What, haven't you seen what I've done? Only God could do what I've done. I am God in the flesh. I know this is simple, but if he's not God, and like he said he was, then he's a blasphemer. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus was not a blasphemer. He was God in the flesh. To follow this through, he thought it not robbery to equal with God. Take your Bible now. We'll come back to Philippians 2 in just a second, but go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. If Jesus was not God, then the angels in heaven would know it. Right? The angels in heaven knew who he was. So, to show you that, Matthew chapter 1, notice carefully look at verse 20, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, watch this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So the quote is from Isaiah 7:14. Here's where we're going with this. Somebody said, why'd they call his name Jesus when in the Old Testament they said his name would be Emmanuel? Because Emmanuel was who he always was, God, who would one day be with us. Jesus is the name of his humanity. And Jesus is what the angel said to name him. Well, how come they're not calling him Emmanuel? Because he's becoming flesh and he will be. What's the name Jesus mean? The Savior or the one sacrificed. And to do that, God had to put on a body that could experience death, yet be perfect. So Jesus is the name of his humanity, but he always was Emmanuel, God who would one day be with us, from Isaiah. If the angel said, call his name Jesus, the angels knew he was God in the flesh. Isn't that wonderful? He was not an imposter. It's so sad to this day, you know, Jews get saved every once in a while, but most of them spit on the New Testament. They don't want to hear about Jesus. I watched someone witnessing to Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, you know, the lawyer and quick-minded one and, you know, conservative. So sad. He's Jew. He was showing him Isaiah 53, and he was looking right at it. Said, we just believe what the rabbis tell us. You don't read the Bible for yourself? This is beautiful. Here's God dying for you. That's what the rabbis say. He's about as Jewish as they come, yet could look at the Bible and say, I don't want anything to do with that. The angels knew he was God. So, the name of Jesus is not from the Old Testament, it's from the New Testament. Think about it just for a second. What a tremendous act of humility to leave the praise and the worship of heaven and come down here to be called a blasphemer. For the Jews to tell him that he was born of fornication, that he was a liar, a cheat, a false prophet. Why is it such a hard thing for anyone to privately humble themselves and see that they're a sinner and call on the name of the Lord for salvation when Jesus publicly humbled himself and was humiliated for them? Why is that so hard? People say, oh, I'm not a sinner. Can you not humble yourself and admit that you can't earn your way to heaven instead of standing there in your pride and argue that you don't need Jesus Christ? Men will proudly declare themselves good enough to get to heaven without Jesus Christ, but Jesus said, I'm not above coming to die for you. God humbled himself for man, but man won't humble himself for God. And I have no problem. For you to get saved, you have to humble yourself. That is normally the reason people don't want to get saved. I don't think you have to get on your knees. I heard one person say, well, if you want to get saved, then you need to get on your knees to humble yourself. Okay, I got on my knees when I accepted Christ, but I don't think you have to get on your knees to accept Christ. I do know this. You got to humble yourself. You got to say, I was wrong, right? I've been lied to. If you've been in another false religion, I've been lied to, and I deserve hell. That's pretty humbling. I'm a law-breaking, hell-deserving sinner that without Jesus am going to die and go to hell. That's pretty humbling. Humility is required to get saved. It is an aspect. It is something you do have to humble. Hey, here we go. Go to John 14. Ready? Go to John chapter 14 and look at verse 6. I told you we're going back to Philippians chapter 2. We will after two more verses, okay? Look at John chapter 14. The name of the sermon this morning is called The Humility of the Cross. And I love thinking about this. Philippians chapter 2 is probably one of the most detailed, beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus in the whole New Testament. And so a detailed picture of why God did what he did before Jesus came down to this earth. Look at John 14, verse 6. Ready? Look at verse 6, then we'll look at verse 9, okay? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody said, well, you know, that stupid statement, well, there's many roads to heaven, and they all lead to the same place. No, there's only one way to heaven. Nobody gets to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you die and go to hell. There is no other way. All roads don't lead to heaven. But what if, you know, that's the general teaching of today. The only reason somebody wouldn't believe that is pride. And think about it. The truth of the Bible doesn't harm you, and it never costs you money. It only humbles you. Right? Cussing, drugs, alcohol, adultery, they don't keep people out of heaven, and you shouldn't do those things, but people that do those things can be saved and forgiven. But somebody that's proud until they change and humble themselves can never be saved. All the other sins, yeah, they can be forgiven you. But pride will send you to hell. Now you're in verse 6, look at verse 9, ready? Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? Jesus was God in the flesh, so he could sacrifice himself in your place and in my place. Why? So you could see God. It's amazing. People will believe anything in a newspaper, on the internet, in a novel, anything they hear on television or Hollywood, but they won't believe the Bible. Have you read the Bible? Well, no, I read on YouTube, or I saw on YouTube a video that said... Have you read the Bible?
Well, no, but someone said that...
Have you read the book? So you haven't read it, but you'd watch a movie that criticizes it, and now you're damned to hell. And you're happy with that.
Well, yeah, because the Bible's full of errors.
Who told you that? Show me one.
Well, I heard that it does.
How much are you going to listen to outside the book? This is the only one that makes sense. It's the only book God wrote. It's such a sad... Today there is such a sad prejudice against the Bible. And it makes people nervous. Look, next time you're at Walmart and it's too crowded, just take your Bible in there and put it right in the front seat of the thing and just push around and people, ah. That makes you nervous? I'd love to ask people.
It's a good book, huh? Life changer.
You ever read it?
Well, no, that's...
Now, in every movie, if you're a Christian, you're a weirdo. You need shock therapy or something. Or you're some pedophile. That's the world's view of Christianity. They've programmed us now for about 60 years, right? TV, Hollywood. If you're a Christian, you're weird. It's sad. There's a prejudice against the book now all through our society. Here, take your Bible and let's go to one more place, then we'll go back to Philippians. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. This morning, as we get close to the resurrection and thinking of what Jesus did for us, I think, first of all, thinking that God would become man, put on a human body while remaining God and limit himself. What humility that God would do that for me. You've heard it's in our hymn book, and every once in a while we sing it. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. He had to reach way down to save me. And what was the first thing he did? He put on flesh. Hebrews chapter 1. You got to read it closely. Look at verse 7. Ready? And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Watch verse 8 carefully. But unto the Son, capital S, right? He saith, who's he? Who is he referring to? God Almighty, right? Does everybody see that? Under the sun, he, God, saith, thy throne, O God. So who is God calling God? The Son, capital S, right? God called the Son, Jesus Christ, O God. They're one and the same. That's what the Bible teaches. This is just one of many places. Jesus Christ, it's a beautiful verse, but you can't just, like I said, you can't read it like a newspaper. Amen? Need to read it and think about what you're reading. No, Jesus being God is all through the Bible. Jesus Christ is God the Father who is sitting on the throne today. Now take your Bible and go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Ready? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that word form also, it means the very essence of God. He was God perfectly. Though it thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. When you take that word, made himself of no reputation. And how many people, do you understand the difference between your reputation and your testimony? Your testimony is what people believe you to be because you're a Christian. Your reputation is what they think you are. And there's people that care more about their reputation than they do their testimony. And what you mean to others as a Christian. And their testimony doesn't mean nothing, but what do you think about me? My image. How do you market me? And boy, they'll freak out if you say anything bad about their reputation. Jesus made himself, that's why I'm trying to draw, Jesus made himself of no reputation. None. I don't care what you think about me. I know who I am. And when they stripped him of everything and he hung naked on the cross, he was still God. You can't take from me what I am. You can't take my character. And yet people, oh, what do you think about me? I don't care what you think about me. I'm a Christian. I care what you think about the Lord. Well, do you know what you used to do? I know what I used to do. I don't care about my reputation. I care about what the Lord, what you see the Lord doing in me. Jesus made himself of no reputation. If you think about it, it'd be one thing to limit yourself to human form. It's another thing, before he ever came, he knew he was going to get spit on. I've been spit on one time in my life. Handed a gospel tract to somebody up in Chicago, and, you know, they just, it's nasty. It stinks. Smells like bad breath and everything. Spit right there. I remember going, have a good day. They spit on him many times. And that wasn't man spitting on man. That was man spitting on God. And then they slapped him. He knew all of that was going to happen before he took on the form of a servant. What humility. And made himself of no reputation. Son of a carpenter. Back then, you know, there was no middle class. It was just, you know, elites and tradesmen. You know, there was no middle class till America. He was born poor. Nazareth was a poor place in Israel. You would think if he was God Almighty coming as the King of Kings, he would at least been born in a palace, right? Right? You know, a little fluff. You know, a little soft mattress. He didn't even own a house while he was here. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. What would you call somebody if somebody said, hey, where do you live? I don't have any place. If Jesus was here today, and you said, yeah, what's your address? I don't have a home. You're how old? I'm 33. Okay, you can't tell me you wouldn't look at somebody like that with, right? You'd go, no home? What, do you live in your car? I don't have a car. We would look at somebody like that if he was here today as a failure, right? He knew all this before he put on a human form and before he came to this earth, knew he was going to be misunderstood, And yet, he still did it for me, and I love when you say he did this just for me. Jesus coming down here didn't benefit him anything, but he came to give you everything. Jesus didn't come down here to further his reputation. He came down here to die for your sins. He came only to serve. Jesus gave sight to the blind. Read the book of Psalms, and that teaches you only God can give sight to the blind. Jesus healed 10 lepers. Read your Bible, and in history there's only one record of a man being healed of leprosy, and that was Naaman. Jesus calmed the storms and controlled the weather. He fed multitudes with just a small amount of food and multiplied it before their eyes just to show who he was. He was God in the flesh. And the Pharisees still told him after he did all of that while hanging on the cross, if you're the Son of God, if you're really God, prove it. I already have. Well, save yourself. I'm doing this for you. If I save myself, who will die for you? What misunderstanding. And yet still made himself of no reputation. How come Jesus didn't destroy them when they mocked him? Because he made himself of no reputation. He came to hang on a cross and die, not win arguments. People's opinions and criticisms could never stop him. And you know, this morning, if I use Philippians chapter 2, if you could ever quit worrying about your reputation and what other people think about you, you'd never stop preaching and winning people to Christ. Our testimony is so important. Our reputation is not important. Philippians chapter 2, you over there at verse 5, ready? It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So think. Jesus could have come and died privately in the garden, privately. Since mankind needed a Savior, he didn't have to do what he did publicly. He could have come, been born to an obscure family, nobody ever saw it, could have went up to Gethsemane and privately died for us. But he chose to do it publicly. He chose to do it publicly. Okay, he humbled himself to the scourging they only gave slaves and non-Romans. A scourging. That's why, okay, what do you call, it's in English language, what do you call low life? The scourge, right? The scourge of society is low life. Why is that? Because those were the only people who were scourged back then, was low life. The scourging carried over. He was tortured to death with the world watching and mocking. Now, if I apply Philippians chapter 2 this morning, I have to let that mind be in me. And it is so opposite of what the world teaches. If I'm going to be a Christian, one who's like Christ, I'm not there yet. But isn't that what we're all supposed to be working towards? Being like Jesus? Then you can't care about your reputation and be a Christian. I'll say it again. The more you consider, well, what's everybody think about me and my neighborhood? Have you invited them to church? Have you given them a gospel tract? If it's all image-based, I promise you, you do nothing for God. Because it's all about marketing and colors and image. And I want to be a Christian. Let this mind, then you got to think like Jesus. And make yourself of no reputation. Say, I don't matter. The only thing that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him getting glory in my life. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to glorify Him. And I do not want to lift up myself. I want to be a Christian. This morning's message is the humility of the cross. And I think it's a humility we can be introduced to, we'll never master, but we ought to try. Amen? And there ought to be a humbling of ourselves, realizing, look what God did for me. And I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, there's so much. Yet, Lord, if we just focused on this one truth this morning, I wish it